you would, to the book of Revelation tonight. The book of Revelation, chapter number 3. And we will hopefully move on from there to another place. Amen. And appreciate the opportunity. Amen. I love the book, love to preach here. Amen. I hope you prayed for your preacher today. Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to move some things before while I'm talking. I can walk and talk with this microphone. I've got a couple illustrations. This is a message I've preached the early part in College Chapel, but I want the illustration to preface the... I don't know if you men ever done this before, some of you preachers. The Lord laid something on my heart to preach, but I thought that if I took two halves of a sandwich and smashed them together, and hopefully the Lord put some jam in the middle of it along the way, or all over it, that'd be good too. Amen. Amen. The message is this. I'll use this title tonight for the sound room, and if you don't like it, you can make up your own up there. That's what y'all do anyway. Amen. All right. The question tonight is, where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? In the Christian life, or in life, I guess, is what I ought to say, everybody's sitting somewhere. And in this room, undoubtedly, everyone would fit into one of these four chairs. And it's just a very simple illustration, but hopefully you'll be able to take and put yourself and be honest with you and put yourself where you are tonight. All right, let's pray and we'll ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this place. Pray again, dear God, that you would use me. Dear God, I just want to be your messenger boy. I just want to be your mouthpiece. And I beg you, dear God, tonight that you'd use your word. Dear Holy Spirit of God, I pray you would do what I cannot do. There are believers that sit in this building, dear God, undoubtedly, that something from your word tonight, I don't want this time to go by and that no one be moved, no one be touched, and no one be helped, dear God. But I know, dear God, tonight that the Holy Spirit, you can go and do what I cannot do. You can go into the hearts of the believers and that you can speak to them with just what their need is from your word. And I pray, dear God, tonight that believers would be helped. And if there are those here tonight that don't know Christ as Savior, that tonight would be the night of salvation. I pray again, dear God, you'd hide me behind your cross, anoint me afresh with your spirit, give me unction to function. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter number 3, most of you can put it in context in the church age. This is different ages of time. That's what we believe here at Landmark, amen, and everyone else that's a Bible believer, and other people that don't believe like that, they'll know that we're right when we all get to heaven, amen. And so, there are 7 churches, and each one of them were 7 actual churches during the time that this is written, during Jesus speaking, giving his revelation, but they also picture 7 different ages of time. We believe, and our preacher said, I do not believe that the Landmark Baptist Church is a Laodicean church, but I do believe that this Philadelphian church is existing in a Laodicean age. And so we are in that last age before the Lord returns, and in Revelation chapter 4, I'm looking for that come up hither, amen. I'm looking forward to the time that we can get out of here, amen. I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker, but until that time comes, everyone that's in this place is in one of these chairs. Now, we're going to read in the scripture tonight, and I'll read that. Why don't we go ahead and do that, and then we'll illustrate the chairs here tonight. But in verse number 13, it says, "Here, he that heareth hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God." Now, if you didn't get a clue, maybe you have a red letter Bible. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that's speaking here. It's his revelation. Verse number 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee." Listen, any time the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I counsel thee." Listen, the scaredest I've ever been in my life. Can I tell you this? I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't know. I've probably been here almost a year, and preacher called me on a Wednesday night. Well, a Sunday night. And he said, right before the service, between the services, "I need to counsel you about some things." Okay? So are you going to, I need you to drive separate than your wife, all right? I just want you to know, I started to think about everything I had done that week. Okay? I began to get worried in ways you don't understand. And I was like, what? And my wife goes, don't worry about it. I'm sure there's nothing, you know? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. And I said, he wants to counsel me about some things. Amen? Now, praise the Lord, after the service says, I wanted to counsel with you about some things. And so praise the Lord, it wasn't really that bad, but what he said on the phone scared me to death. Amen? But I'm here to tell you when the book says, and Jesus says, I want to counsel you, see, on some things. Listen, we live in this age. And listen, he's talking to a group of, listen, he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to the church. He says, you're lukewarm. And he says what he wants to do with lukewarm Christians. I want to spew you out of my mouth. And then he says, beyond that, he says, I counsel you about some things. This is, if this is where you're at, this is what your mindset. Listen, this is the church age today. In verse 17, because thou sayest, he didn't say this is actually where we are. This is the reality that they had created for themselves. I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. And then he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white with raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now listen to this. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I want to beg you tonight, church, listen, you know, as a group of believers, when we're counseled to do anything by the Lord, you know, the best medicine for a Christian that found out that they've gotten away from God and gotten lukewarm is to zealously realize and recognize where you are as a Christian and run to the altar and run to God and say, God, I'm sorry. It's important for us to keep short accounts with our God. It's important for us to realize where we're at. You know that most marriages don't end in divorce because people kept short accounts with their spouse. It's because they kept having problems and they kept burying things and burying things and burying things. They kept getting farther and farther apart. In any relationship, it tears apart, not because of typically one big thing, but because of little things as they go along. And in the Christian life, it's no different. We don't usually get cold all at once. It doesn't always happen. I just missed church once. Or I missed my bus route once, or I missed the choir once, or I missed this once. It's usually then a second time, and then a third time. And then all of a sudden we pass from lukewarm, we've gotten lukewarm, then we pass from lukewarm into cold. And if you don't think that this is, listen, just like water, the Christian life, listen, in ourselves we can pass on. Now this chair over here, I want to tell you, I said everybody in this room tonight is sitting in one of these four chairs, and this chair right here, this is a chair for the lost. There could be people in this room, and I believe if in a group this size, without a doubt, there's someone who's lost and on their way to hell tonight. You say, in a church like this, a church on a Sunday night, there could be somebody. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I sat for the first, 15 years of my life, I was in church from 5 to 15. And over again, I heard the gospel preached. And so many times I sat where I was, not cold, not lukewarm, not hot, but lost in the church service. I sat there and listened to the preacher preach a hot message about a loving and a caring God who died on Calvary to pay for me. And I just sat there over and over again hearing it. I remembered a time that I had bowed my head as a kindergartner and asked Jesus to come into my heart. But no prayer saved anybody. I preached on it this morning that it's whosoever believeth in me. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm just going to tell you, it's a prayer of faith. It takes faith, not a prayer. There's a lot of people that pray all kinds of things. There's a lot of people that read prayers. But listen, I'm here to tell you, it was faith. I remember the day that I walked down the aisle and I put my faith and trust through prayer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saved me like that. And I'm glad for that day, and I passed from death unto life. And I want to tell you, friend, I didn't start out cold. I started out hot. I wanted everybody to have what I had. I wanted everybody to be saved. I thought everybody would want to hear what I had to have. I mean, what I had, boy, if everybody, I thought every teenager would want what I got. This is the best deal going. Amen? And I mean, I was hot. I was on fire. I started telling everybody. And then all of a sudden, you know, I had other people start to, you know, Christians that had been around a while, you know, bushel basket Christians, that instead of looking for the blessings of God, they turned it upside down and covered their light over top of their head. Y'all are smiling because you know them. They're around us. We like to call them wet blanket Christians where I come from. But whatever you want to call them, you know, the Bible uses the bushel basket covering up your light. But I'm just here to tell you, you know how it is. You've got people around you. Hey, did you want to come to our... Don't talk to them about it here. They try to hide you. Oh, this is the wrong place. This is the wrong place to witness. There is no wrong place to witness. Okay? You say, Brother Parsons, what about on the work? In the workplace. Listen, I want to get to a place tonight. Listen, I want to talk to you tonight. I want to preach what God laid on my heart. A hot Christian could witness. See, we make witnessing, take your New Testament out, and during your work day, you have to go, point number one, point number two, like we're all robots. You know, that's not how it all works. Most people that are adults that get saved, somebody had to share sometimes while you're working, this is what God did for me. God changed my life. I was wicked. I was lost and bound for hell. Hey, I'm not talking about stopping what you're doing and saying, hey, you know, stop cooking the grits at Denny's and listen to me give you my 3 points. Here, stop and read this track. Do you know we were in the line the other day, and it still amazes me. I handed a track through the window at McDonald's, and a girl right here in town stopped everything she was doing and read that track just like it was the first one she'd ever seen. She didn't know what it was. I said, this is an invitation to my church. And I handed it through the window with my money. She put the money in the drawer, and I watched and waited to see whether it went in the trash can, whether it went in a pocket. And friend, she opened it up, turned around and leaned back on the counter and began to read the gospel. Amen. Can I tell you today, listen, there's a lot of different ways that you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, if you're not here, everybody should desire to be here. Everybody that passed from death into life, I don't know anybody that ever got saved that didn't get here when they got saved. They had to regress. They had to cool off. You know, and the sad part is, I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, most of us firmly are planted here. I don't want to get too hot. I don't want to chance boiling over where people would call me a fanatic about Jesus. I don't want people seeing me steaming, amen, about the things of God. Bless God, we're having a revival. It's the best preaching I've ever heard, except when Brother Parsons comes. And then the lukewarm, you know, and then the lukewarm's like, oh, I guess we're going to have service again tonight. 6:59, he makes that joke all the time. And the sad part is that's how a lot of us sit. Amen? Then there's some of us that cold as ice cube. I just want to see what's going on in the freezer. And you're laughing. I know that it's funny in that sense, but I mean, who in the world would want to occupy this spot? You say, well, and then that's the same people. You know, listen, I got to bring a blanket to come to Landmark. The freeze place freezing. I might as well watch it on the internet. At least my house is warm. Amen. And we get that way, but this is a simple illustration of how the Bible lays it out. We have got to be in one of those categories, and God help. Listen, if you're here tonight, there is a Lord Jesus that came from heaven and died on Calvary that you might be saved, that you might pass from death into life, and you don't have to be cold, you don't have to be lukewarm, but you can be red hot for the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, nothing short of that pleases God. You say, well, Brother Parsons, you don't understand. Listen, I don't know what your excuse would be tonight or why you're not burning hot for Jesus Christ, but I guarantee you, you'll be ashamed to say it when you get to see him in face to face. You'd tell me today, would you sit in there and counsel Pastor Carter? You'd tell him all about all the circumstances, but the circumstances of life have nothing to do with the Christian life and being hot, lukewarm, or cold. I don't care what your finances are tonight, you could be a hot Christian and telling people about Jesus. You could be buried in debt and still be the witness that you ought to be. You say, Brother Parsons, I know people that preach the prosperity gospel. I said, you could have the most money in the bank and every place to run, and I mean, you could be well set up and you could be zealous. The sad part is some people that have the worst finances are a better witness than people that got money. And then, lukewarm. Well, I don't want to sweat. It's Florida, friend. It's going to happen. Amen. It's just going to happen. Can I tell you, I mean, we've talked about it, but I want you to turn with me. Listen, I want you, with that perspective, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5 and where Pastor preached the other day. And I just, you know, this is something he preached on that just struck my, I mean, just got me excited, got me reading it again and studying it. And I want you to show you now, he put it in perspective that, you know, this is the Old Testament. I don't want you to get mad with me. If you don't understand what he said, go back and listen to preacher so I don't mess it up and contradict what he said. But he said he placed it in time. He put it, okay, before the cross. He placed it, this is the Sermon on the Mount. A Jew and Jesus Christ predating the cross, speaking to a Jewish crowd who are the church in the Old Testament, praise the Lord, amen. The believers that are going to transfer and become the New Testament church, amen. In Matthew chapter number 16, amen, there he starts his church, amen. That's what we believe, okay. If you don't, come on down and we'll teach you something down at Bible College, amen. Matthew chapter 16, 18, all right, the church is placed in there. I think my pastor's preached on that a few times. Somewhere between Matthew 16, 18, when he said he was going to start it, and Matthew 18, 17, when he said, if you got a problem, take it to the church started. And then wait till the day of Pentecost, okay? It got jump-started there, all right? It got like jumper cables, all right? Maybe some gasoline thrown on it. I don't know. I mean, is that all right?
That works.
Can I say it like that? That's a little redneck. All right. If you were at camp and saw the bonfire, it was something like that. Okay? It went like that. Amen? All of a sudden at Pentecost. But the church got started here, and here Jesus is speaking, but we can take this application for believers today because Israel was supposed to be a witness to the world. It was supposed to be God's witness to the world of who he was and what he was doing throughout all the dispensations of time. Now, don't get worried, okay? The King James Bible uses dispensation, okay? I purposely use that word because there are people that don't believe in dispensations. And we also believe that here, that there are dispensations of time. You should believe that if you're a member of the Landmark Baptist Church, amen? There are dispensations of time. The Bible uses the word. We use the word. It's kind of a biblical term. And so as we move on from dispensational time, cold, lukewarm, and hot. So where are you sitting tonight? Or are you lost? Somewhere in between, you got to place yourself in one of those chairs. And listen, as you do that, I want to show you some things. You say, well, Brother Parsons, would it really do any good if we just kind of assessed ourselves and didn't find a way that we ought to be? Do you know that every one of us, and we went over this morning, that not everybody's a hand, not everybody's the eye. And I thought about this as a church. It's a very good picture of different illustrations of the kind of witness that we could be. Do you know, we think that if I'm not knocking doors, cold door soul winning, every day or once a week or wherever you want to place it, that you can't be a hot Christian. Now, I believe in cold door soul winning. Okay? We practice it here. I believe in knocking bus kids' doors. I believe in knocking random doors. I believe in handing tracts through the McDonald's window. I believe in stopping people on the street when they walk by. I believe in witnessing to bums under bridges. I believe in witnessing to anybody that's still breathing because they can get saved because I'm not a Calvinist. And so, if you're a hot Christian, listen, I want to go through some different ways that a Christian is a witness according to Jesus. This is what he says. He's trying to talk. Again, he's speaking to Israel, but we can make an application for us. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 5, and he says here, if you're saved, if you're alive, if you're still breathing, in verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth no good for, it's good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, understanding and realizing where you're at, if you're going to be salt, I want to kind of explain to you some things about salt. Old Testament salt was typically taken out of a salt. You know, they have the Dead Sea, they get all kinds of places, but if you took salt from the ocean, which is typically the way they would have done it there, and they're going to take big baskets or kind of a leather basket or whatever, it was sea salt. Everybody like sea salt? Everybody all right? Amen. Sea salt, kosher salt. Amen. So you're going to get it out of the sea, and they're going to take it in these big tubs, and they would try to clear all the debris. It was very important that you get everything that was in the water, other than water and salt, out of the water. If you left a fish in there, that wasn't going to be good when you let the water dry up and all you're left, when the water evaporates. You understand, if you get everything out, you got pure water and you're going to have pure salt because the sun is going to dry up the water and you're going to be left with salt. It's very important for a Christian to purify themselves. It's very important for us to not be tainted by the world. It's important for us to keep ourselves separated from the world, because what happens is the more debris that we have in our lives, as that evaporates, the salt that we have, it doesn't have the savor that it should. You realize if you got dead fish in salt, when the water takes off, it stinks and smells and tastes like dead fish. It taints the salt. Now, the salt can still be a curing agent. The salt could still be used, but listen, how many people do you think, in the Bible times, place it, talking to Jews, is that salt going to be any good for the Jews if there's a dead fish laying in there when they come back? No. They're not supposed to be near that. They're supposed to get rid of that. Under the law, they had to throw that thing out. Listen, and for you and I as a believer, listen, there are things in our lives that we allow to be in there. And so when I'm salt, when the salt that I ought to be, listen, and let me say this, you know, we use the term now as vogue to be salty is to kind of be abrupt or to be rough or just ignorant, I guess, with people. And, you know, the term is a bad term. That person is salty. Or has an attitude, if you want to say that. Listen, I just want to tell you, I believe that we live in a day where too many Christians are not the right kind of salty. When people get around you, they don't get an air or a saltiness or a savor. See, the Bible uses the term savor. Pastor preached on it a little bit, but there's a lot to be said and to be studied about savor. And God, when he had his offering and when it was burned up, it was a sweet smelling savor. And he wanted that savor. That savor, listen, when I put salt on my food, my wife cooked good food today and it was salted well. But when it came, I didn't taste it. It needed more salt. I'm one of them people. If a little bit's good, a little bit more would be better. Amen? But you know as well as I do, if you poured all the salt in one place and all at one time, it ruins it. Do you know as a Christian, so many times a hot Christian will have the discernment of the Spirit when you're at your job and your workplace to put the salt in where it ought to go. And I don't believe a dab will do you, but a dab here and a dab here and a dab here. Because, I had chicken and rice. It's good, right? This belt right here is a leather fence around a chicken graveyard, all right? That's good. It's Baptist preacher, amen? But I mean chicken and rice, and there was some kind of cream. My wife called it company chicken, but we didn't have company, but it was good, too. I ate their portion. And there was string beans. There was several things on there. And I want to tell you, I didn't salt just the chicken. I salted the chicken and the rice and the gravy. Now, some of you are thinking, man, he's about to have a heart attack. And I salted the string beans. And I'm sure she had already done that. But listen, I didn't do it. I didn't dump it all in one place and try to mix it around. I sprinkled it. You know, and so many times as a Christian, a hot Christian doesn't have to work at being a witness because they've kept themselves unspotted from the world. And their normal conversation is about Christ. People, I talked a little bit this morning in Sunday school to the college and career class. I have a habit of saying amen. All right? If it's good, I say amen. If it's bad, I go amen. Amen. And again, I just do that because I'm around God's people, and God's people understand, you know, when I get out in the world, even though that didn't sound like much salt to you, when I'm standing inside and somebody tells me about their bad day, because it is my habit, I go amen. And they look at me like, And for the ones that really know, let it be so is what it means. They look at me really weird. I'm like, I had the worst day, you know. My dad just died. I was like, amen, you know. And they're like, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you know. I'll just talk to them about it. And I'll say, and it gives me an opportunity to say, hey, I work for the church. And I just, a lot of times I just say amen. But you know, so many times in our Christian life, the salt that we ought to be, listen, the salt loses its savor. You know what they did with it? The scripture talks about it's no good except for to be thrown out and trodden underfoot. A lot of the walkways and the roads were that kind of salt, where people didn't get what they ought to get out of it. They didn't get the fish. They didn't get the seaweed. They didn't get everything out of it. And so the whole batch of salt was ruined. And then, and you say, well, ruined? No. They paved the roads with it. And listen, I just want to tell you, listen, there the road is full of cold Christians who people trod by all the time and look down and go, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. That the highways and the byways of life are trodden. Listen, and listen, people get the ones that, where they ought to be getting the salt rubbed onto them and helping them to come to Christ. They're looking down and resenting it because it doesn't have the ability to be sweet smelling to them anymore. It doesn't have its savor like it ought to have to bring people to Christ, to draw them there. You say, well, Brother Parsons, what about a lukewarm Christian? Well, look at the scripture with me again, and we'll read it again. I want you to see it tonight. He says here in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. He says trodden underfoot of men, but what about in the middle? What's in the middle? Well, the hot Christian, everything he's going to do, everything. Listen, he didn't have to work at it. He's clean. Listen, but so I only have half a batch of salt. I mean, really, I want you to just get this. There's some of it. How much do you think it took of dead material to be in that before they threw it out? Now, I want you to understand this. When that's evaporating, they may have dipped in and taken a little bit of salt along the way because they thought it was going to be a hot batch of salt. But by the time it completely dried out, they realized that it was cold. There was no, listen, lukewarm is not a place that you can stay. The Christian life is a lot like an escalator. All right, I'm just going to share my own personal opinion of the Christian life. It's like an escalator. My boys love to go up them the wrong way. But that's like the Christian life. Do you know you can't just stop and stay in one place? If you don't stay, it takes you staying moving. You know, you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you will just stay where you are in your Christian life. It takes more than that to make a move towards God. It takes, listen, that will just keep you steady. That's a steady diet that'll keep you from getting cold. It'll just keep you lukewarm. Brother Robertson used to say it takes three to thrive. But listen, I'm just here to tell you, listen, it takes three to stay alive. Amen. To the day and age we live in, listen, that was years ago, and the world has gotten much worse. And now, instead of having to go out and do something evil, they pump evil into your home. Yeah, right. Wi-Fi is everywhere. You can get a signal everywhere you go. My boys, this is my boys, all everywhere they go. I don't have my phone, it's over there. But listen, I'm here to tell you. When I lose signal, I know everywhere that there's a dead spot on their phone because I'm driving down the road and the only time I hear them is when they're going, bam, 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 I got no signal. Ah. I know all the dead spots through town. I'd like to go park the van there with them in it. Amen. And keeping it pure. Amen. Keep the salt pure. Amen. But I just want to tell you this, and that's the day and age we live in. And we have to be diligent and sometimes more diligent. Listen, to be what we ought to be, to stay hot. We have to be zealous and repent. When the water line drops low enough that we see something in it, or the word of God reveals, or a friend of ours, you know, some of you have real good friends. You know, a good friend will love you enough to come tell you what's wrong with you. They'll come and tell you, hey, something's not right. You're not where you ought to be. You say, Brother Parsons, friends don't do that. Hey, good friends do. What does the Bible say about a friend? The wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of your enemy. Amen. I want to tell you today that God loves you and he wants you to be hot for him. But listen, this Christian life, it takes more than just staying even. You're going to get cold. Every time, listen, now at camp, we had to try to put that thing out. So that's not a good, that wasn't a good illustration. But I'm here to tell you, you know, most fires, when I kindle a fire in the backyard, I got to keep putting wood on it to keep it going. Or else it dims down. And eventually the embers are there and there's a, you know, an example of something that used to be hot. And it's lukewarm. And eventually, if I don't continue to put things on it, it'll get cold. Listen, it happens. It's what happens. Look, he goes on, and so salt is a hot Christian. We ought to be salty. We ought to be around people. And then Jesus gives another illustration for us tonight, and he says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, and it cannot be hid. And I believe, listen, it said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Listen, I want to tell you, and we're going to read the next verse in a minute, but I want to tell you, the church is the lighthouse in a town. This is a collective. This is going on from what you ought to be as salt. It goes on to what we ought to be collectively. You know, our testimony in the town ought to be, that's a group of working people down there. Those are people that care about our town. They go and get kids. Listen, those kids, I know them kids ain't putting nothing in the offering plate, but they go get them anyway. Amen. It ought to be our testimony that, listen, that we love people, that we care about them. Listen, it ought to be our testimony that if you want to know about Jesus, just go down to that place. Can I tell you, listen, let me tell you something about my home church, and I've not had this happen here yet. Maybe I've not been here long enough, but I've been all through town, and I met this guy in a nursing home. Christmas Eve or whatever it was, I think it was right before Christmas, with my youth group, they were all singing, and this guy reaches in, and I tell him where I'm from. I'm from Salisbury Baptist Temple, and he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out. Now, we didn't have nice color tracks. We printed them on this blue paper with just black ink, you know, and I mean, it had the simple plan of salvation on it. Nothing beautiful about it. He said, I got saved through a tract from your church. This tract was old, friend. It was crinkled up and old, but he was holding on to it for dear life. He said, I was going through a tough time in my life. And he told me the place. It's called the Polar Bar. It was a place that they have ice cream. It was an old drive-in, but it still made its way through. And people, most of the time, people had donuts and coffee there in the morning. That's about all anybody ever got from there anymore. But he said, I was sitting there, and I was in a low spot in my life. So my wife was sick and had cancer and you know, it was terminal. And I just left her from the hospital and I came and sat there. I was having a cup of coffee and I was telling him about it. He said, and a man went in the back and he grabbed this track and he came out. He said, I go to such and such a Methodist church down the road. He said, but there's a man that comes here every morning and he leaves one of these on the table. And I've accepted Christ as my Savior and it helped me. He said, and I keep these every day just for people like you that need this. And he handed the tract to a man. Listen, I'm here to tell you, that brother was probably only lukewarm. But there was somebody that was burning hot that came into that place every morning. That man's name, I found out later, within a few days, that there was a man that was our bus director at my home church who is no longer alive. His name was Dave Davis. He was my friend. Brother Dave Davis went to that place every morning. And every morning he was faithful to leave his tip and leave a track. And little did he know until I told him down the road that that man was saving them every day and passing them on to someone else that needed it. Can I tell you, listen, we don't know as light. Listen, that man said, your church puts these out all over town. I've seen them in a lot of places. And I tell people, I got one of those too. And I read what was inside of it and Jesus saved me. Can I tell you today, listen, a church is a lighthouse to the community. Every one of us are a lighthouse in different ways. And we ought to be salt, like we said. But listen, more so, as lighthouses to our community, as a collective group, we ought to show the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody with any sense in their head would take... Listen, when you go through your house, if you had a candle and your house was dark and you were shining, you wouldn't try to put something over top of that to dim it down. You wouldn't try to dim it if you're trying to see through the house and see clearly what's going on. But so many times in the Christian life, we try. Listen, there are people. We live in a Laodicean church age. When people get cold enough, they try to be a spy undercover. And they don't want people to know who they are. Sometimes it's because we haven't lived the way we ought to in front of our friends. Do you know, can I just be honest with you? Do you know the best medicine for that, to be the best witness you can be, is to be zealous and repent? Not only to God, but then go to your coworker. You know the best way you can be a good witness, because I've done this early in my Christian life, I can tell you. I fell on my knees at an old-fashioned altar and asked God to forgive me for the way I'd been and the witness I shouldn't have been. And I went to the man that God burdened my heart for, and I went to him and I said, would you please forgive me? I'm a Christian and I love the Lord, and I just have been acting just like you, just like the world. Listen, I can tell you, I did not get to witness to that guy. He did not receive Christ because of me. But you know what? Down the road, he continued to watch my life. And down the road, someone else came by the house who had been a better testimony than me. But listen, the only hope I had, because as far as to him, my salt had been rubbed in the road and trodden underfoot. But he got down the road and somebody else was salty enough along that time to be able to win him to Christ. Can I tell you tonight, listen, it's very important as a Christian, as a church, that we are the collective light. Listen, I know that we're doing a good job, but listen, we ought to fight. Listen, the day and age, I don't believe this place would ever be that way, but we ought to stay the lighthouse that we ought to be. Do you know there's people dropping the buses all over the world, all over America, people are saying, them things are too expensive. My home church keeps those things going, and I know it costs 1/3 of their budget in Maryland because of the stringent rules that it takes to run buses. A lot of places, it costs them a lot to run buses. We are blessed here in Florida to be able to run the buses we do at the cost that we do. Can I tell you, listen, no matter what it costs us, it's right to do. Amen. Can I tell you, listen, the radio station, no matter what it costs us, it's worth it to do it. There are people that are helped all around the world. Listen, no matter what it costs, listen, do you know, if you can't say amen to that, then you're not a hot Christian. Because when you're hot, no matter the cost, I'm going to say the course, no matter the cost, listen, and the day will come, it's going to cost us something to keep it up. The day's going to come. Mark her down, friend. You read earlier in this chapter and what pastor preached not too long ago, when men are reviling you because of your faith, that's where it starts here in the chapter. It doesn't just happen with salt and light. It starts out with being reviled for your faith. And it tells you to rejoice because the day is approaching. Amen. The sky's about to open. So he tells us, he gives us that as a church, and then he says, let your light so shine before men. Look at it with me. He says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. Wow, I think we're getting to a hot Christian. See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, let me tell you the difference between these two positions, and this might fit in with this morning's message. This guy right here wants to do all the work he can do, and he wants God to get the glory for it. This guy wants to do all the work he can do to be seen of men, to have a title, to have a position, maybe climb some ladder in the church. I don't know. Listen, this person here, if they get a title, they don't care about it. It comes with more. You do know this in the Christian life anyway. We don't have any good pyramid schemes. It's all upside down pyramids. The higher you climb on the ladder, the more people you have to serve. That's the way it works. The more responsibility you get, the more people you got to take care of, the more people you have to minister to and be a servant to. That's the way the Christian life works. And listen, this hot Christian, he wants to be a light unto the world. And then it gets on into this, and I want to kind of, this might be funny to you, but I just want to kind of illustrate it because I really think it's powerful. Look, he says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel on the candlestick and giveth it light unto all that are in the house. And I thought about this. I brought my flashlight from camp. This is a little bit bright. It won't hurt nobody's eyes, I don't think, in here. Except for Brother Perkins. Get your Brother Perkins. Okay. I know I'm over time. Just stay with me, all right? You say, Brother Parsons, I don't know how to be, I don't know how to give the gospel, but I want to be a light. Do you know our church has so many different ways? Do you know that it's being a light. Hey, have you ever turned on a radio station? Here's a track going through. Listen, you don't have to say anything. Here is the invitation to my church. Or with your money. Do it like I do sometimes. I just stick it in the window and don't say nothing. I just hand the track in with my money. Anniversary Sunday comes, wear your button. People ask you. It's weird. Okay? People don't wear buttons anymore. The days have gone by when people wear buttons. Okay? You want to tell? Let me tell you a funny story. Okay? Because it gets noticed. I just want to tell you. I wore buttons here, went home after Bible college, and somebody found a button that says, I love teenagers. Okay? I was stopped that night on the way home in my vehicle. The police officer says, sir, I saw you kind of get over the line there. I said, yeah, I'm just tired. I'm driving home. I'm all right. Get out of the vehicle, sir. I want you to walk this line. He's like, you know, have you been drinking? I said, sir, I've never had anything to drink in my life. Yeah, get out here and walk the line. Okay. That's where it went, okay? Then he looks through my vehicle. What's this button mean? I love teenagers. Sir, somebody at church gave me this button, and I'm the youth pastor there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Walk the line. Touch your nose. Say the alphabet backwards. I don't even know the alphabet, you know? And I was like... But I mean, you know, those are little subtle things to carry. Listen, I'm a candlestick. You say, I don't have a mouthpiece. I can't be the light that I ought to be. Listen, just be a candlestick. Just carry things around. I see people all the time. Go out and purchase. If you're going to work in the yard, get T-shirts that have something to say about Jesus. Somebody even told me tonight that they wear some of the Restore-a-thon shirts everywhere they go, different ones for different themes with different things, and they're that witness that they ought to be. Listen, even if you can't be the mouthpiece that you want to be the candlestick that you ought to be and lift Christ up in your life. Do you know what's a good witness for a Christian? Just to have some type of scripture with you during the day. Somewhere along your day, and people see the Word of God in your office, on your desk, watch you read it. It's a good practice to memorize a verse. Have a 3x5 card and keep saying the verse to yourself. It'll help you and it'll help somebody else that hears it. Can I tell you, listen, we need to be salt and light in this world. And listen, no matter where you're sitting today, everybody's desire should be here. I've not always been in this chair. Not always. Not all of my Christian life have I seated in this chair, but I want the majority of my Christian life to get home to heaven and realize the time I spent in the Christian life, I spent most of that time seated in this chair. If you think that you're going to occupy any other chair and hear, good, well done, my good and faithful servant, you're crazy. This is the seat you need to be in. Amen. Say, Brother Parsons, there are more things important. What's more important? Heaven, hell, saved, lost, the life that we talked about this morning, what's more important than being a hot Christian, being what you ought to be for Christ? I just read Laodicea, and they said, you know, well, we're rich, and we have goods, got lots of things to take care of. It's all going to burn up one day, friend. The things that we think are important in this life. Listen, you look around at everybody that's here in church with you, that's what's important. You don't believe that, you say, well, what about the rest of my family? What did Jesus say? He was in a meeting and he looked around at the church that was sitting in the room and he said, my mother, my brethren. Listen, I'm here to tell you, there are people in my family, I love them. Thank God for them. But listen, I'm a lot closer to my church family than most of my family. Because they don't have the mind of Christ like the God's people. They don't have the Spirit of Christ living inside of them. They don't want to be the lighthouse. And if I spend too much time around them, I won't be the hot Christian that I ought to be. Right. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, musicians are going to come. I know I went over, but I beg you tonight, if you'd stand to your feet, if God spoke to your heart, would you use the altar tonight? Would you come and zealously repent? You say, Brother Parsons, that repent word, listen, It's what we did when we got saved. That word repent means to simply turn from something that's keeping you cold and indifferent towards Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know Christ as Savior, would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I promise I won't come to you. All I want to do is pray for you. You say, Brother Parsons, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up tonight if you're like that? Is there one anywhere in the house tonight? One anywhere? All right. I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, we'll sing. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for these people that have already come, and I do pray for others. I pray if there's one that doesn't know Christ, that tonight would be the night of salvation for them. Help them not to put it off another day. Help them get it settled. Help the Christians, dear God, to want to be that hot Christian that they ought to be. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All to you.